And thank you so much, Pastor. And we have so enjoyed being at Temple Baptist. And thank you for your attendance and everything. The meals here have been amazing. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3. Yesterday we had a parenting seminar. And very well attended. Matter of fact, I know there was more than over 100 parents there. And praise the Lord for that. And for all of you that were there, thank you for that. I want to kind of continue on with that. There was one other session that I had. I found out at the end I had already gone over 30 minutes and did not realize it. But I even had another session. And I thought, you know what, I think we'll give it for Sunday school today. And if you do not have a handout, Micah, are you ready? If you do not have a handout, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone that doesn't? Down here, over there, thank you. Oh, they're right there. Yeah, thank you, Micah. Just keep your hand up for just a moment. Micah will get you a handout there. We are looking today at the 5 most important truths for a home. The 5 most important truths for a home. I'd like to begin at Colossians chapter 3. And if you would with me, look at verses 1, 2, and 3. If ye then be risen with Christ. Well, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are. Since. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, now that's an amazing 3 verses there. But what does that look like in your family? In your home, in your marriage. So set your affections on things above. I mean, those 3 verses are, oh, those are really good. But how does that look? Well, let's find out. Look now over to verse 17. This goes a little bit to what we talked about last Sunday. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Hey, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Hey, come on now. Children, obey your parents in a few things. For this is that what it says? Children, obey your parents in some things. Amen. Everyone together. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Hey, and don't forget, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, let me tell you something. 18, 19, 20, and 21 is the practical life of if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we're going to look today at the 5 most important truths for a home. We're going to pray. If you still have your hand up, that's good. Micah's just about got it. Way to go, Micah. You did. Oh, we've got another one down here too, Micah. You're getting your exercise today. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach this lesson. And I pray that we will not just be hearers of the word. I pray that these 5 most important truths in a home would be a part of every one of our lives. Whether right now we are a single parent, whether we're a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, or a child. Father, I pray that every one of us would understand these 5 most important truths. And actually, Father, so many of these will then be used in relationships with our neighbors, co-workers, in our world. So, Lord, it all begins in the home. You instituted the family in the home. So I am, by faith, expecting that you're going to take these 5 most important truths and work them in the conscience of every individual here. And that, Lord, may we never have the same family after this morning's Sunday school class. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's children said, amen. Amen. Number 1, the most important relationship in your home. The most important relationship in your home is the husband-wife relationship. Okay, we gotta stop, do a little parenthesis for just a moment. I have no idea who's in this room. Micah, great job. Great job. I don't know who's in this room, but it is very possible that there is a single parent in this room. And if you are a single parent, you say, oh, well, this is a great message. Already I'm kicked out of this message. The most important relationship in the home is a husband and wife. So, single parent, whoever you might be in here, let me talk to you for just a minute. First of all, I'm not going to change my point. Because the most important relationship in a home is the husband-wife. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment. But if you are a single parent here, let me tell you a few things. First of all, allow God to be that other spouse in a very real way. Allow the Lord to come alongside of you and help and guide you and give you what you need. Number two, you actually are in the right Sunday school class today because you're in the right church today because you have the right pastor today and his wife. What am I saying? Hey, let me tell you something. If you are a single parent, you're in a church that is very family oriented, that gives an environment for your children to be in. And I will also tell you this, and I've been here for almost 2 weeks. There are good godly families in this church that'll come alongside of you and help you. If you are a single parent, I do not know who you are, and I really don't. Pastor's never told me about one, hey, I don't know who you are, but I want to tell you something. I'm not going to change my point because the most important relationship in a home is a husband-wife relationship, but I am going to tell you this. You're in a church that will help you, support you, and be there for you. And what you're missing in your family, you can get great support from Temple Baptist Church. So I want to tell you that. That being said now, let's go back to the point because I think it's important. In California, several years ago when I was pastoring, I don't know if you realize this or not, but 2 times in the state of California, they voted against same-sex marriage and won the vote. The Supreme Court of California knocked it down and said it wasn't constitutional. But the fact of the matter is, we had 2 elections on same-sex marriage, and both of them, the people of California, as liberal as that was, voted against same-sex marriage. During that time, especially the second election, I sensed that as a pastor, I needed to address that to my congregation. What does the Bible say about this? In the course of that, I preached a message on 7 reasons why I disagree with same-sex marriage. My first reason was this. Same-sex marriage destroys the picture of Christ and the church. Say, what are you saying? Do you understand that a marriage is a metaphor? Marriage between a husband and a wife is a picture. No. I mean, it's an institution. I understand it's an institution. But that institution was to picture something. A marriage between a husband and wife is a metaphor, a word picture, an illustration of Christ and the church. When you have same-sex marriage, you don't have 2 Christs and you don't have 2 churches. You have Christ in the church. Same-sex marriage actually destroys the very picture of what marriage is. Because the most important relationship in a home is the relationship between the husband and the wife. Now, a few reasons. Look at your paper. It's the picture of Christ in the church. Number 2, it's the key to successful parenting. Over the years, I've had people say to me, Jim, I, Pastor, Brother Shetler, Dr. Shetler, whatever, I know that I haven't been the spouse that I should be. And our marriage hasn't been what it should be. And I haven't been the husband and I haven't been the wife. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Shetler. I know I haven't been the best husband, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been a good dad to my kids. I know, Pastor, I haven't been the wife that I should have been. But I will tell you, I've been a good mom to my children. I want to say this very respectfully, but very honestly. The greatest mom in this auditorium is a good wife. And the greatest dad in this auditorium is a good husband. You will never do anything more for your children than to love your spouse. You take care of your spouse and you build that relationship. You will do more for your children than anything you'll ever do as a father and a mother. For your children to see a loving couple love each other, care for each other, communicate how to handle, how to go through financial problems, how to go through health things. When children see mom and dad acting the way they're supposed to, you're doing more for your children than anything you will ever do. I'm telling you right now, it's the key to successful parenting. It's a picture of Christ in the church. And I'll tell you the third reason. It's the authority position. It's the authority relationship. And wherever you have the authority relationship, it's most important. Hey, I'll tell you this right now. I mean this. Most important relationship at Temple Baptist is pastor with his deacons and pastor with his staff. Because if pastor's got a good relationship with his staff and his deacons, everything else will trickle down well. It is when you are dealing with an authority relationship, that is always going to be your most important relationship, because that relationship is going to determine everything else that happens underneath that relationship. So it's very important. The most important relationship in the home, everyone together. I hope I've helped you guys respond a little bit better. Okay. By the way, our Bible study last night was fabulous because it was so engaging. But the most important relationship in the home is everyone together. Okay, that was terrible. Most important relationship in the home is number two. Most important person in the home is Jesus Christ. Now, the most important relationship in the home, that's husband-wife. But the most important person in the home, that's Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Scheller, I'm not sure I understand. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you got in your family? Well, there's five. There's me, my spouse, and we have three children. Yep, that's your problem. Wait, what's my problem? You say you got five in your family. Yeah, me, my spouse, we have three children. We got five. No, you don't. Brother Scheller, we have five people in our family. No, you don't. You have six. And that's your problem. You've never looked at Christ as the most important person in your home. Well, yeah, know what? How many of you have in your home? Well, we have two kids, and we have four. No, you don't. You have how many? Everyone together? Five. You got five. And see, that's the problem. We do not look at Christ as a person in our home, in our family. Let me tell you, in the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is in your home just as much as anyone else. How many people watched TV last night? Oh, our whole family did. There were all five of us. No, six people watched TV with you last night. No, there was just five of us at the Jesus watched with you. You see, Christ is the most important person in the home. Look at this for just a moment. He is a person in your home by the Holy Spirit. He can either be present. He can be predominant. He is, Brother Scheller. All of us know Jesus is our Savior. We're a Christian family. We've all received Christ. Christ is present in our home. And I'm telling you something. We're here at Sunday school. Come on. Christ is predominant in our home. That's not the question. Is Christ preeminent in your home? Because if he's not number one and he's not preeminent, he's not the most important person in your home. Now listen to this. What's best for Christ is best for your family. We have developed a culture in church today that everything is centered around family. And family is the most important. No, that is wrong. And that your children have become more important than anything else in your life. That is wrong. The most important person in your home is not your children. The most important person in your home is not your spouse or you. The most important person in your home is Jesus Christ. And if you make Jesus Christ preeminent, that'll be the best thing you'll ever do. The best thing you will ever do for your children is that they understand, you know what? We're going to do this year. We're going to plan on going here this year. We're not going to watch this. We're going to do this. Why? Because Jesus Christ needs to be exalted. He needs to be honored. When you make Christ the most important person in your home, I'm telling you something, you are doing the best thing for your family. Honor Christ in your home. He will honor your family. Make His will your family priority. Okay, so you gotta have practical things, okay? You can't just, this is all theoretical, Brother Shetler. So Jeremy and I were talking this past week, and he was talking about the message last Sunday where we said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And he gave me an illustration of something that he does with his family. And he said, Brother Shetler, do you think that that's okay? Well, first of all, I'm not your conscience, I told him. I'm not your Holy Spirit. So that's between you and the Lord. But then I said something to him that I think will be very helpful to you. I said, after you do that activity, what is the product of that with your family? First, he kind of like, I'm not sure I know what you mean. And I said, well, when you do that activity, what happens? What is it good? Or do you guys feel kind of guilty? Do you feel like you got to take a bath spiritually? Or do you feel like, man, that brought us together? And then he explained. He said, you know what? I think it's something that's really good for our family. And we leave that activity and it's like we're closer together and we bonded. Well, that probably is an indicator that the Lord's with you. So listen to me. This will be a great practical help to you. After you do the activity, after you, whatever it is, you know, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, how do we know if we're doing this is to the glory of God or not? What's the result after it's done? Is the result, you know, that was good, or I don't feel right that we went there. I don't feel right that we did that. I don't feel right that I wore that. I don't feel right that I listened to that, or I think that was good. The product of it will probably tell you by the Holy Spirit that was a good activity or not. So I hope that helps you. The most important person in the home, everyone together, is... Ooh, man, I would say his name a little bit better than that. Most important person in the home is... Number three. I don't like this point, but it's important. The most important time in your home is when someone else is speaking. The most important time in your home is when someone else is speaking. Man, this is good, guys. So, over the years, people have said to me, by the way, James 1:19 is great, be swift to hear, slow to speak. Over the years, people have come to me and they said, you know, Brother Shala, you're a pretty good communicator. You're very expressive, you're dynamic, you're energetic, you're a very good speaker, you're a good communicator. And I want you to know, the longer I live, the less I believe that. Do you know what I have found? The greatest communicators in this world are not those that use this. It's those that use these more than this. I'm not saying they never say anything. I'm just saying they are using these more than this. You know, some of you think you're a good communicator with your family because you do this all the time. That does not make you a good communicator. I'll tell you what makes you a good communicator, that you do more listening than speaking. I think there's spouses that finish sentences of their spouse. I know what you're going to say. Well, you know what? You really don't know what I'm going to say. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Yeah, well, you really don't know what I'm thinking right now. I believe that we do not listen as good as we ought. Now, you have some children, and you go, hey, let me just say this right now. I know my kids. I know what they're thinking. No, you don't. And I'll tell you, at every age and at every stage of their life, they change. And I found, and by the way, they don't all think the same. Things that Ben thought, Drew did not think. And things that Luke thought, man, Ben did not think. And I realized, you know, Jim, you got to get to know Ben, Luke, and Drew. And I want to tell you this, I've been married to Mary Lee for 43 years. Yeah, so you probably know her inside or out. I am learning things about my wife. By the way, my wife's likes and dislikes has changed over 43 years. My wife's view of things have changed over 43 years. So I have to, by the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. I have to keep learning about Mary Lee. What she's afraid of today, she was not afraid of 20 years ago. What she knows today is not what she... So I've got to learn. How do you learn this? You ask questions and you listen. I want to tell you right now, the most important time in your home is when somebody else is speaking. I think we talk over people in our family, and I think like, okay, you got it? Are you done? Okay, because I got something I want to say. Oh, that's the worst thing in the world. Now, I haven't said this in the last couple of weeks, but I do have a special needs son. Luke has special needs. And we have a very expressive family. Mary Lee is a very opinionated woman. She's very confident. She's very assertive. And she's extremely godly. Her spiritual gift, I think, is discernment, is a prophet. I think she can look at a situation and go, this is right, this is wrong. And she doesn't mind telling me about it. I love that about Mary Lee. I have a son who travels America as an apologist. So basically, he's defending the faith and debating against atheists, evolutionists. He does critical race theory debates. He does. I mean, he's constantly talking. And my son is good, too. I'm telling you. I mean, my boy can defend himself. And Drew, my youngest, he's a Christian film producer. He's visual and he's expressive. He's so good with words. He's a wordsmith. And then there's Luke. And Luke struggles with speech. And Luke struggles with just communicating. So you get in a discussion at the Shetler home. Whoa, my wife's got an opinion. You think I'm quiet? Oh, man, I got a debate. And I usually alliterate all my points, you know. And then you got Ben, who's going to win this argument no matter what we're talking about. And you got Drew giving the most incredible visual metaphor like, wow, that was great. And then there's Luke. And I got to tell you, I learned something years ago. We get into something and we're all talking. And then Luke raises his hand to speak in the Shetler home. Okay, there's something wrong with that. That somebody's got to raise their hand to talk. And whenever I see that, I went, oh, hey, Ben, just hold on. Luke, what do you got? And I tell you what I've learned. The greatest communicators aren't those that know how to talk. The greatest communicators are those that know how to listen. And you know what? I was a dean of students at West Coast Baptist College for 5.5 years. Boy, I'll tell you what, you get that student in there, and boy, I got all the goods on them, and they got, man, I da 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 da. And then I said, he got anything to say? I've had students say to me, Dr. Shetler, does it really even matter what I say now? Whoa, that ain't good. You know, it does matter, and I ask you to forgive me. And then you know what? Then you hear their side. And it doesn't mean that they're justified in what they did. But you do begin to understand a little bit why they did what they did. And you do begin to understand their heart. I want to tell you something. The most important time in your home is when somebody else is speaking. The most important person in the home, Jesus Christ. Most important relationship in the home, husband, wife. Two more and we're done. Number four. The most important action in your home is forgiveness. You will never do anything in your home that is more important than forgiveness. Forgiveness is the basis to all relationship. If you never learn how to forgive, you have not learned how to relate to people. Because people will always hurt you. You cannot live in this life, even with the person that you committed your vows to till death do you part, that you just said, oh, we love each other, that person's going to hurt you. Your children who you adore, your children who you give your life for, they're going to hurt you. Your parents who should be the representative of God will hurt you. If you do not learn how to forgive, you cannot exist in relationships. I'm telling you, the most important action in your home is forgiveness. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The basis to forgiving other people is the forgiveness that we've received from Christ. Now, this is really important. If you have never received God's forgiveness for your sins, then it is impossible for you to know how to forgive other people. But if you have received the forgiveness from God for your sins, then there should never be a problem with forgiveness in your home. And I'm going to tell you why. Your spouse, your children, and your parents will never do anything to you that is worse than what you did to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ forgave you of your sin, then you can forgive your spouse, your parents, and your children for whatever they've done. You will never do anything in your home that is more important. No action will ever be done in your home that is more important than forgiveness. Let me give you a few things on this. Don't keep records on each other. Now, I've been a part of three ministries, and now I kind of travel on my own. And in all three ministries, and now, there has been a word that I have not liked. And that word is the word receipts. I do not like the word receipt. At least not when it comes to business. When I get home, the very first thing my wife will say is, Jim, well, she'll say, I love you and I really missed you. But after she says that, she'll say, Jim, give me the receipts. Yeah. Well, I think they're in the suitcase. I think they're in my adopt kit. I got a couple in my wallet. I didn't have any receipts on the trip. Temple Baptist took care of me really well. Of course, I was in a couple other places, too, in this last 2 weeks. But receipts. Jim, we got to have receipts for tax purposes. You got to keep receipts. Now, let me tell you something. If you're running a business, receipts are really important. But in a family, it's the worst thing in the world. Some of you keep receipts on each other. And as soon as you get into a discussion or an argument, all the books come out. You owe me, man. You remember 3 months ago? You still owe me. And you guys are keeping receipts on each other. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You ever heard this before? Love, charity, thinketh no evil. The word thinketh is an accounting term. Love doesn't keep records. It doesn't hold on to receipts. You know the best thing that could ever happen in your family is that today you got rid of all your receipts on each other. You know what? My parents owe me, man. What my parents have done to me. You don't know the family that I've been in. No. You don't understand and not experiencing the forgiveness that's been given to you. Don't keep receipts. Learn how to forgive. Don't keep records on each other. No luggage. Erase each other's debts very quickly. Move on. Let God be the judge. You know, God, I'm tired of judging my family. Lord, whatever you want to do with them, I'm letting go. I'm moving on. Remember all that Christ has forgiven you. Don't return evil for evil. What would you want to be given? And I just want to tell you, the most important action in your home is forgiveness. Okay, hey, I'm doing so good. It's 9:34. I have 6 minutes and I'm coming to the last point. You know, you leave me a temple long enough and I'm going to get this time thing down, you know. Amen. I can't believe how well I'm doing. Okay. So he said, wait till the next hour, man. I am so ready to leave here at 10:50. It's unbelievable. Okay, here we go. The most important, and you know what? He has been a very forgiving pastor to me, because I think I've gone over on everything that you don't agree. You keeping the receipts on that? Okay, all right, here we go. Number five, the most important element in your home is the grace of God. Okay, now I believe the most important relationships, husband-wife. I believe the most important person is Jesus Christ. I believe the most important time is when someone else is speaking. I believe the most important action is forgiveness. But I believe the most important element in any home is the grace of God. Okay, so I was born and raised in a family of conflict. My mom and dad, I never saw hold their hands. I never saw them kiss each other. I never knew my mom and dad to get along. I never can remember. I do not have a memory of mom and dad having a good time together. Conflict reigned in our home. It was very abusive. It was not immoral or anything like that, but it was extremely verbal and even physically abusive. Mom and dad got a divorce when I was 14, and this was the early 70s. Back then, there was a big stigma on divorce, but I'm going to tell you something. As a 14-year-old, I was thrilled that my mom and dad were getting a divorce. I didn't hate my dad. I didn't hate my mom. But I hated them to be together. It was a constant battle. And so I came from a very dysfunctional family. So now, I'm going to marry an MK. My wife is a missionary kid. Her parents have like the greatest marriage in the world. They've been Jewish missionaries for over 60 years. Dad's up in heaven now. And Marilee comes from this incredibly solid marriage, home, family. She's got four other siblings, and Marilee's family is just such a great family. And she's a daddy's girl. She loves her dad. Her mom and dad love each other. And that is not what I came from. So I realized, man alive, how is this going to work? I don't have any model to follow. I don't have any example to come from. So I'll tell you what I started doing. I started this in college. And I got to tell you, into the first couple years of marriage, every time I saw a good marriage or a good home and I had any opportunity to talk at all to them, I would get to them. I said, hey. You and your wife, man, you guys get along really well. What's the secret recipe? What is it that you do that makes your marriage so good? Listen, I see your kids. Man, you got good kids. How'd you do that? Now, everybody hear this. I got to be careful with numbers right now. And, of course, I didn't keep records. I personally believe that I asked over 300 couples this question. What's the secret recipe? What did you do? Okay. I don't know if it was over 300 or not, but I know whenever I saw a good couple, I would ask them, hey, what's the secret to your marriage and your family? I don't have the records on this, but Pastor, I know way over half said this to me. Jim, I'm not sure what it is. We kind of had a date night every week, as long as I can tell in marriage. We always resolved problems. We always laughed and enjoyed each other. They would always give me a little tip. They would always say, you know what? I didn't have to be the last person to give a statement or whatever it was. They would give me a little tip. But I'm telling you, over half the people I asked would say this. Jim, just to be honest with you, I don't know what the secret recipe was in our marriage. I don't know what it's been in our family. But I know this. If there's anything good that's come out of our marriage, if there's anything good in our family, It's been the grace of God. Well, you start hearing this. Well, Brother Shetler, we did this and we did this. But you know what? Honestly, Brother Shetler, it's been God's grace. Yeah, wait. You know, we've had a good marriage. We've done some things. But Jim, if you really want to know the truth, it's been the grace of God. Well, you start hearing that all the time. And you start thinking, you know what the most important element in a family is? That they learn how to communicate. Yeah, I'm with you. That they learn how to do things together. Yeah, I'm with you. That they have good vacation time. Yeah. That they have a date time together. Yeah. You know what? I'm with you with all that. But I'm going to tell you this. If there is one element that every one of you need in your home and family, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the grace of God. Because if anything good comes out of your family, it's God's grace, not because of something you did. You need the grace of God in your marriage. You need the grace of God to parent your children. And you need the grace of God to be the child in that family. And the greatest element in any home is the grace. Okay, that was really good, Brother Shetler. How do you get this great element? How do you get the most important element? Everyone help me out. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the
humble.
To the humble. How do you get the most important element in your home, Brother Shetler? Humility. And I start putting that together with 43 years of being in ministry, doing a ton, thousands of hours of marital counseling, and I have thought, wow, you know, if someone would just humble themselves, if they would just swallow them, only by pride cometh contention, would somebody in that home just humble themselves? I don't care who it is. I don't care. I don't care if it's a kid. I don't care if it's a parent. Somebody just humble themselves so the grace pipeline will open up and they'll get the most important element. Everyone together. Most important relationship in the home? Most important person in the home? Most important time in the home when someone else is speaking? Most important action in the home? Forgiveness. And everyone together. Most important element in the home? God's grace. Father, I pray that our homes will never be the same. I pray, Father, that every person in here would take a takeaway from what they heard in the most important thing. Lord, may some spouses start centering on their relationship. May families go, you know what? Christ now becomes the most important person in our home. What's good for Christ is going to be good for our home. Father, I pray people will start listening to each other and not thinking that they know what their children, what their parents, what their spouse are thinking. God, help us forgive. God, may we remember what we've been forgiven of. And then, Lord, keep us humble so that we can get the greatest element we really need in our homes, the grace of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.